Oftentimes we give thanks to those on stage who are leading us in worship. Probably another group that we ought to be thankful to is the people in the back, because sometimes those computers don't work the way we intend for them to, and our hands are kind of tied, and when that happens, they get 14 dozen heads turning and looking at them. So let's thank those folks who work back there. We are adding to the list of what God wants the church to be. He wants us to be a maturing church. Notice, as I say that, we have put the ing on the end of that word, meaning it is an ongoing process. Really, it is a lifelong process. Because you've heard the saying, God is not finished with me, what? Yet. And thank the Lord for that. It is an ongoing process of Him growing us and maturing us to become more like Jesus. We should be growing in our faith. We should be imitating Him more. I remember a number of years ago, after a week of vacation Bible school at the church in Fort Scott, Cindy and I were sitting in El Charro's, and a lady had come up to us and was talking to us. She had her granddaughter with her, who had just finished 5 days of our vacation Bible school. And as we are carrying on this conversation with this lady, all of a sudden, her little granddaughter gets really excited, and she starts pointing in a different direction, and she says, Grandma, there's Jesus. Of course, we all turn our head. We're wanting to see Jesus. And we see our children's minister, Paul Martin, walking into the door, and she's referring to Paul as Jesus. He has been the fellow who has been up front all week at Vacation Bible School, leading the kids in worship. I mean, he's the guy with Vacation Bible School there, and that's her response to him. And later, you know, as we're laughing about this, but later I was thinking, that's really how it ought to be. People ought to be looking at us and seeing Jesus. We need to be Jesus to other people. And again, that is a process. We should be becoming like Jesus. And if that is true for us individually, then that is going to affect the whole church. And it could be said then that Reinhardt is a maturing church. Isn't it true God has made us to grow? And that's true about everything. This fall, in the end of October, we will have lived in our home for 30 years. When we first moved into that house, it was a brand new house, and there were zero trees in the yard. And I wanted to do something about that, and so there was a Saturday during that winter time that I went out into the woods, and I spent the entire day digging up trees, oak trees, hard maple trees. I think over the course of that day, I dug up 12 trees and I brought them back to my yard and I transplanted them there in my yard. Now, that was a long, hard day's work. You know how deep those tap roots go of the oak trees particularly. And they weren't big trees that I had dug up. They were probably about waist high and about as big as my thumb around. And yet, those tap roots went way deep. And to get the whole tap root took some time with each of those trees digging and sweating and working and then bringing them back to my yard, strategically placing them in my yard, of course, digging a deep enough hole for that tap root to go down, and then covering them up and watering them real good. And at the end of the day, I was so tired. And yet, I was satisfied with how the day had gone. The next morning, a Sunday morning, I got up. My routine is pretty much the same every Sunday morning. I get up early and I study my sermon. I'm looking at that. And then that particular day, as I had finished studying, I went outside to walk and to pray, and was going to admire the work from the day before. And it didn't take me long to be just totally shocked. Every one of those trees that I had planted was gone. I had a lab pup at the time, and that dog pulled up every tree that I planted. And they were gone. The trees were gone. There were bits and pieces there where she had eaten them. I never did find those trees, other than just those bits and pieces. And of course, I wasn't in a real good frame of mind to preach that morning. But I made it through. The dog survived. I have to tell you, the dog did survive, and we were good buddies for many years after that. But it was frustrating, and I had to spend another several days after that, just going out into the woods, digging up more trees, transplanting them, and I bought some along the way too. And after 30 years, I can say we finally have some good-sized trees in our yard, and we've got some shade in our yard. You know what? God made those trees to grow, didn't He? The same thing's true with the corn just outside the walls of this building. This direction, that direction, there's big corn fields, and they're getting along towards maturity, but they didn't start that way, did they? And they didn't get that way overnight. The farmer planted the seed in the soil, and then after a few days, that seed began to push its way through the soil to become a little seedling, and then it grew over time. God made the corn to grow, didn't He? Same thing's true with us human beings. He made us to grow. My kids, looking back over the years, it doesn't seem like it took them very long to grow up. And then before we knew it, they were out of the house. Now, during the process, there were some times where we wondered if they were going to grow up. But now, you know, they're gone. And they're having their kids, and we're watching our grandkids grow, and they have not stayed babies for long. God made us to grow. And that's all true spiritually, too. His plan for you and His plan for me is that we would grow up in Him. He wants us to be mature in our faith. Let me share some verses with you that emphasize the truth of that. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ." Verse 15 of chapter 4 of Ephesians says, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto Him who is the head, even Christ." The Scripture is clear. We are to grow up to be like Jesus. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 through chapter 6, verse 1 says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ," he says, "let us press on towards maturity." Please hear me say this as I reiterate what God has already said in His Word. It is His intention for you and for me to grow up in our faith, to become more like His Son, Jesus. He wants us to mature. He wants people to be able to point to us and say, there's Jesus. Let me give to you one more verse. Colossians 1:28 says, we proclaim Him. Paul is writing this and he's saying, we proclaim Him. Those of us who are in the camp that I am in, we proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. In that one verse, Paul gives to us his intention for ministry. His intention is that he presents every person complete in Jesus. The word complete means mature. His goal for teaching and preaching and for doing ministry is that every person he is dealing with would grow into completeness, into maturity of Jesus. You know what? That's my goal for you too. That's my goal for each of us. That we would grow up in Jesus Christ. That we would not stay the same. To stay the same spiritually from year to year would be a sin on our part. Let me say that again. For you or for me to stay the same spiritually from year to year would be a sin on our part. He wants us to grow into His likeness. And so I have two questions for you this morning. The first question is simply this: how do we grow? Well, we have to abide in the vine. Let me read to you John chapter 15, verse 5. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Who's the vine in this passage of Scripture? Jesus is. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. He's the source of life. If we do not abide in him, if we are not connected with him, there is no life. And that's really easy for us to illustrate. Just going back to the trees in my yard. I have a sycamore tree in our backyard. It's probably the biggest tree in our yard now. And that tree, over the course of the summer, oftentimes the will droop down real low, close to the ground. And that presents a problem when we're mowing the yard and trying to go underneath that tree. It's easy, if you're not careful, the tree limbs just swoop you off the mower. And so oftentimes each summer there seems to come this time that Cindy's saying to me, you know, those limbs, you need to trim them up. And so I'll get a saw out, or those things, whatever they're called, and I'll trim up some of those limbs. Tell me, what happens to the leaves of those limbs that I've just trimmed off? Within an hour or so, what's happening to them? They're drooping, aren't they? They're dead. They're dying because they have been cut off from the source of life. And the same thing is true spiritually. We have to stay connected to the lifeline. Jesus is the lifeline. Apart from Him, you can do nothing, the Scripture says. And so as we're talking about maturing spiritually, it all starts with staying connected to the vine. We have to have this relationship with Jesus. And that will lead me then to the second point as we're answering the question, how do we grow? Well, we have to practice the disciplines. I've tried to challenge you often through this series on the subject of prayer. Last week, Elijah challenged you to be in the Word of God. I will just give an echo to what Elijah has already said. God has given us this book to help us get to know Jesus, and it is absolutely useless to us. This book is absolutely useless to us if we don't open it up. If you just lay this book on a shelf or on your table, by your bed, and you don't open it through the week, this book is useless to you. We need to hear from God and what is being said in this book. We need to read this book and study this book. We need to memorize this book and meditate on the words of this book. The words of this book are nourishment to our soul. If we don't eat the words of this book spiritually, then we will die. You cannot have life. You cannot grow if you do not practice the disciplines of praying and being in God's Word. It's school time. I appreciated the video that was played earlier. It's school time. That all means football's well underway, isn't it? Cross country, I think maybe tennis for the girls, volleyball. These sports are fall sports. They're getting underway and in full swing. Every one of those sports, there are some basic disciplines that you have to have and give attention to if you want to be ready to play the game. And mainly with each of those four sports, I'm talking about running. If you don't get in shape, if you don't train your body and make it your slave, as Paul said, then when the competition starts, you're gonna fall behind. You'll crumble beneath the pressure. Now, if you're one who reads from the King James Version, you'll know in that passage from 1 Corinthians 9 that Paul says, we need to buffet our body. Now, that's a word that isn't used too much these days. And I think we get confused when we read that because we think it says we need to buffet our body. And we do a pretty good job of that, don't we? We sit down at the table and we buffet our body and we keep on buffeting. We enjoy eating, don't we? And we sometimes will overeat and it shows. That's not what Paul said for us to be doing. He didn't say anything about us buffeting our body. He said we need to buffet our body. We need to be the master over our body. We need to train our body and practice the disciplines. And I don't know of any discipline that comes easy. If we are not disciplining ourselves to pray and be in the Word, it's going to be impossible for us to grow spiritually. Let me put it another way. You are setting yourself up for spiritual disaster if you are not practicing the disciplines. The first windstorm that comes through will cause you to just topple over if you are not rooted in Him. And believe me, the windstorms will come. Satan will see to that. Trouble just has a way of finding us. I think it was last week in the Sunday school class that Gary Johnson is teaching. We were talking about the need to have our roots deep into Jesus, just like that old oak tree that has its taproot that goes way down deep. When the wind blows, I've seen this at my house because early on I made the mistake of planting those Bradford pears. You know what the wind does to those trees? Boy, they don't last through a big windstorm or an ice storm. But those oaks, boy, they last because their root goes down deep. And that's what we need spiritually, is to have our roots going down deep into Jesus. Could I take a moment to encourage you in several ways? Grow your root deep into Jesus by getting into the Word on a daily basis. I think it'll help you too to get into a Sunday school class here at church. Get into a life group. Life groups are going to be starting this fall. And we'd encourage you to sign up for a life group. And it's just another way of getting into the Word of God and learning this book. And as you're there, you're sharpening one another. You can give your thoughts on the Word of God. And somebody else is giving their thoughts. And what we're doing at that point is we are sharpening one another. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, the Scripture says. Tonight is kickoff for the youth group time. I encourage the middle school kids and high school kids to be a part of those youth group activities. It's just another way of sharpening one another. It's another way of growing deeper into Jesus. Now, obviously, all of these choices that I'm talking to you about, we have to make those kinds of choices. Paul said it this way, I press on towards the goal. The Hebrew author says, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity. Peter said, make every effort to add to your faith goodness and to goodness knowledge. My point is simply this. These decisions about growing deeper into Jesus and maturing in our faith, they are decisions that we have to make. We have to want this. And so, because we want it, then we make decisions that are going to help us achieve that goal. I want to ask you a simple question. Is this what you want? Do you want to grow in Jesus and be spiritually mature? If so, then you have to abide in the vine and you have to practice the disciplines of prayer and being in the Word. There's another point here that I want to share with you as we're answering this question. How do we grow? We endure through hardship. Of course, Jesus is there to help us with all of this. It's not like He throws us out there all by herself on an island and says, okay, you grow. No. We simply need to say, Lord, I want this. I want to grow. I want to be mature in You. Would You help me? And He is right there to help us, to carry us, to hold us close. He will comfort us and grow us through those storms that come. This is the message of James chapter 1. It says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, I know that's different than what you're reading on the screen, because that's from the New International Version. And I was quoting to you from the New American Standard Version, but I wanted you to see what the New International Version says. It actually has the words mature and complete in its translation. These trials come against us. And as we hold on to Jesus and He's holding on to us, the end result is maturity and completeness in Christ. Does that mean we're going to be perfect? No. But it does mean this, that He will help us grow stronger through the storm. I have good news for you. He is with you amidst the storm. And He is bigger than any storm you face. He will never forsake you. Satan wants to use the storm to take you down. God, though, on the other hand, wants to use the storm to make you stronger and to help you become more mature. So, how do we grow? We hold on to Him. We abide in the vine. We practice the disciplines. We endure through hardship. Whatever comes our way, our feeling and our thought and our intention and our desire is, Lord, I am with You. I'm holding on to You. I will not ever let go of You. And certainly, He's not going to let go of us. Let me give to you the second answer to how do we grow. Actually, the second question. The first question was, how do we grow? The second question is, what is the evidence of our spiritual growth? And the evidence will be that people will say, there's Jesus. There's Jesus. We'll be growing and we will become more like Him. People will be seeing Jesus in us at home. Our family members will be seeing Jesus in us at school, at work, at the ball field. They'll be noticing something is different about us than what they used to see. Maybe it's how we talk. We used to talk the way the world talks. But now we're talking differently. We're not using some of those words that we used to use. Maybe it will be with our temper that people will notice the difference in our control of that temper. We used to just fly off the handle. Don't see us doing that so much anymore. Maybe it will be with our kindness towards the down and out. Maybe used to we just pass them by, have no thought of their need, and now all of a sudden they're seeing us stop and take some time and show some compassion and give mercy to the down and out. Maybe we're more of a servant than what we used to be. Instead of just being about ourselves, people are noticing we're not just about ourselves anymore. We're about other people. And we could just go on down that line talking about how people see differences in our life. That as we are growing in Christ, they're seeing us become more like Him. And as that happens for us individually, then the church collectively will become a more mature body of believers, and God will use us in greater ways than what He has been able to use us before. So let me give to you just a couple of thoughts before I close that kind of stand out here, certainly connected with what has been said, but there are thoughts that are just kind of isolated. One of those thoughts is, Satan will be right there to accuse you when you fall short. He's called the accuser of the brethren. When you fail, you can know for sure that Satan is going to be there with his finger pointed at you, and he's going to tell you how spiritually immature you are. He's the accuser of the brethren. You've sensed his pointed finger at you, haven't you? He's saying, you blew it. I thought you were a Christian. Look how immature you are. When Satan does that to you, don't listen to him. Seek Jesus' forgiveness and get back up from your falling down. And you tell Satan that God is not finished with you yet. You are a work in progress. Amen? You are a work in progress. You tell Satan to get on down the road because you are covered by the blood of Jesus, and that is the truth. So recognize his tactic. As we're talking about this desire and this journey that we're on of becoming like Jesus, he's going to try and derail you. He's going to accuse you. He's going to point his finger at you. And you just remind him that you are covered by the blood of Christ. And here is another thought, just kind of standing out here by itself. Don't compare yourself with others. There will be some who are ahead of you in spiritual maturity, and there will be some who are behind you in spiritual maturity. Don't get discouraged about those who are ahead of you. Don't get arrogant about the ones who are behind you. You keep your eyes on Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith, and if we will keep our eyes on Him, then He will take us to where He wants us to be. Let's pray together. God, help this church to be a maturing church. Help us as individuals to be maturing in You. That we can look over our shoulder and see some of the things that we've left behind, some of the bad habits, some of the sin that we've been able to overcome through Jesus. Not because we've been so strong or we've been so successful against the devil, but Lord, we have simply held on to You, and we have trusted You to lead us. We have abided in Your Son. So help us, please, to continue on that journey of spiritual growth. Thank You for Your patience with us. Thank You for Your forgiveness to us. And thank You, God, that You're working on us. And You never give up on us. In Jesus' name, amen.